This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
I've been working with a nurse dietitian for the last 6 months, and it's been life-changing. I've lost weight, healed my relationship with food, and have way more energy. Working with a dietitian online to create a personalized nutrition plan was so easy thanks to Nourish. The best part? I pay $0 out of pocket because Nourish accepts hundreds of insurance plans. 94% of patients pay $0 out of pocket. Find your dietitian at usenourish.com. That's usenourish.com.
3 feet, McElroy walks up to the ball, gets over it for history. With one look, Rory back and through, and he's made it! He's done it! It's a grand slam roar at Augusta National!
I've carried that burden since August 2014. It's been 11 years, it's nearly 11 years. I'm not just about winning my next major, but the career Grand Slam, you know, trying to join a group of five players to do it, you know, watching a lot of my peers get green jackets in the process.
Some emotion there from Rory McIlroy, and thank you to SiriusXM. The radio call, which I love golf on the radio because it's Mike Tirico, Pearl, and he's got to like whisper because he's like in a tower somewhere, you know, not far off from the green. And fantastic call from Tirico, but you would expect nothing less. It was an all-time exhale moment for Rory McIlroy. And to be honest, you know, not to sound like a jerk about it, I was kind of like, not rooting for the car wreck, but I couldn't look away when he missed the putt on 18 to set it to a playoff. And I was like, this, we're going to watch this dude again just devolve into a puddle. I can't believe what I'm seeing here. He had the Masters on his putter and the career Grand Slam and all that stuff, and then he missed it. Now, to his credit, he rebounded. The playoff hole he played was a masterpiece. He was fantastic. And then when he fell to the ground and started sobbing, I was like, oh, all right, this is what it's all about. It's about guys overcoming stuff when things look incredibly bleak, showing that kind of grit, and I was happy for Rory.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think anybody, unless you're a huge, lifelong Rory fan, which are a lot of them out there, I think everybody was kind of wanting drama. I mean, who doesn't want to see the 18th hole matter? Right. And that was huge. The funny thing to me was how quickly it turned. Yeah. Everyone thought it was a runaway around 10, and then boom, it was on for the last 2 hours. And it felt like the 18th hole took a year and a half. It was a long, slow finale to that. And then the playoff, you know, one thing, the playoff was a little short for me.
Well, it's a sudden death.
Yeah, I know. I just felt like, oh, God, I wanted a little more drama. I wanted to see Rory stand over a tough putt and have to face those demons. You can almost see the demons in real time when he's sitting there over the ball. You can
figures coming out to, like, you know, pull at his shirt.
You can see what's going on in his head because there's the weight of 11 years.
Yeah.
And, you know, we saw it last year in a major. It's so hard for him to hit that putt. The gimmies. It's the gimmies that kill him in the wedge play yesterday, but the gimmies are not a gimme with him.
No, never are. And what's funny about Rory, or not funny, you're saying like we've had this long drought. The drought doesn't even begin to tell the story of Rory, right? There's one thing about a decade and waiting for the Masters, and he even said watching his peers is what we played you that clip. He specifically said Jordan Spieth. Like that one, apparently that one was like incredibly hard for him to watch Jordan Spieth.
What year?
I think it was 2015, was it, Jordan Spieth? He said that one was incredibly hard. But that's not even the real thing about Rory. It's about the drought. Yes, it's about the choke jobs. That's this thing that now was something that was a blemish, a black mark, a building, you know, just boil that had to get lanced off of him. That's what makes this moment, I think, even sweeter, makes him even more of a champion, outside of the fact that he now joins like this inner circle golf royalty of guys who have won slam, the career Grand Slam. But Pinehurst last year, you're talking about the U.S. Open in 2023, St. Andrews 2022, 2011 Augusta will always be like the insane one. Just how he blew that memory, almost hit a house. Like, it was, that was particularly bad. But these are all majors where he had the lead in the final round and lost. You know, it'd be one thing if you just don't win a major and you go 10 years. These were the oh-so-close moments where he only had himself to blame. And it's weird because now he's really going to be remembered. I think it's like his legacy became bigger yesterday because he almost choked away another one.
So, okay, so I think that's one thing we've disagreed on. If he had just stormed through the end and kept a four-shot lead and won it easily, you're saying that Rory's legacy would be even bigger, but I think he'd be known as a greater golfer. I think the way this went down, I think he's going to be known as a guy who has trouble putting a tournament away.
I think he's already known as a great golfer in golf circles. Like, he is one of the best, easily one of the best. It's just
in
been
golf
these,
circles.
Yeah, in golf. Well, in every circle, but
yeah,
and like it's just been these choke jobs in the majors. But he's still been winning tournaments and stuff.
Well, yeah, I'm saying like we just talked about the fact that there's nothing guaranteed with him. That has not left him. I think he's not going to be known for his incredible resolve mentally, especially putting in a major. Do you think that? Because he definitely gave this tournament away and then got it back.
I think all of that makes it even bigger. Like, if he had just had a four-stroke lead and just cruised to the end, I don't think it's still a huge story, but I don't think you're getting the sobs.
No.
Like, the sobbing on the green at 18 in the playoff when they replay the hole in sudden death and he beats Justin Rose. Like, if he knows that he's going to win and he has four holes to think about it, I think it just doesn't hit the same way as the relief that we saw on the green.
That makes sense, right? The resilience. You're right. If he wins by four, he's not crying. Or maybe he will. Maybe he's thinking of his past. But, I mean, this did seem like a special tournament to him to try to win. But, yeah, that being said, though, if we're Rory, what's fifth major, right?
Yeah.
He's in the Mount Rushmore of golfers. If he had won by five and then he had just gone on a tear the rest of the year, then maybe he gets even higher up legacy-wise. Now, I don't really see that as happening. I think he's going to be known a little bit differently. Like, what do you think of Tiger as? Tiger's a killer.
Well, yeah. I mean, Tiger is the ultimate. You know, I mean, Tiger, obviously, Nicklaus, but like, Tiger is, there was something just surgical about Tiger. But then also, you know, Tiger's got, there's a lot to Tiger's legacy. For Rory, though, he's only 35. You know, with this monkey off of his back, what does the rest of his career look like? What does the rest of this season look like?
only 35 back in golf. That used to be on the back end of golf now.
I don't think so.
I saw there's a few, you know, it is still rare to win a major in your 40s. So he's got to get most of his work done between 35 and 40, but the field is crazy competitive. I mean, you got Scheffler, you got Schauffele, you got all these guys who, by the way, a lot of great golfers were kind of floating around Sunday. I think if Scheffler had not had a really bad Saturday, like he's right there too. So I don't think it's going to be possible for Rory to, you know, when he was young, to be the next Tiger. There was a lot of, Tiger. I think it's a little late for that. Do you think there's any way he wins, I don't know, gets a double-digit majors?
That might be asking a lot.
Yeah.
I mean, he'd have to go on this all-time tear. I don't know. We'll see. We'll see now being unburdened by this drought, by the chokes, by all that stuff. Is he a completely different golfer now? See, the thing is, he still played well. So I don't think we're going to see a brand new guy. I think we continue to see the same kind of Rory.
I think you asked a great question. You know what? If he had been able to get over that mental hurdle, he would have had at least two, maybe three more majors, and he'd be at eight right now. Maybe now that mental hurdle is gone, he can go on a super run.
It'd be amazing. 888-710-4ISN. So that was a little Rory yesterday. We'd love to know how you felt watching Rory. Were you rooting for him? Were you rooting to see the car crash again? And then watching him sobbing like that. you know, I think there's a lot of people, we were talking about this, like EJ and Manny, like they're a little younger. So you guys aren't Phil guys necessarily. Obviously, you would have seen Tiger. So Tiger spans so many generations. So does Phil, quite frankly. But like Rory's your guy. Like EJ, you were rooting for him hard yesterday.
Yeah, I was. Because I think to me, like, you know, I was like a teenager probably or a kid when like Phil Mickelson was going through his issues, right? Yeah. So like I knew about it, but it was not the same. Like Rory was like, I saw him as a young person saying this may be the next Tiger Woods. Like you saw his whole story, right? Yep. Like I feel like I've seen this guy go from this like prodigy to this like choker. Like mm-hmm. It was kind of bizarre to see, even though he has all these majors in his back pocket, he couldn't get over the hump. So I was actually like kind of emotional watching him walk down walk off the course with the people cheering and yep. him like looking at the crowd almost like he can't even believe what just happened. It was one of the better moments I've seen. Definitely in golf, but really in sports in a long time. It was special yesterday.
You know, I find that when these moments happen and we talk about like getting the monkey off your back or, you know, it's different because Rory, this wasn't the first major he won. It's the first Masters he won. He got the career slam, but he's been a champion many times over. Where I really start to get all the feels is for the fan bases who finally get what they want. So Manny, close your ears, but like the Boston Red Sox, you know, when they finally broke the curse, I really felt it for the Chicago Cubs when they finally broke their curse and for Cleveland. Now, I know the Guardians/Indians organization are still, you know, that's still a pain point. But when LeBron goes back to Cleveland and wins a title, Cleveland, this is for you. I mean, you've got that forever. I almost find that, yes, individual athletes, okay. I feel for them, but it's almost like the fan bases, you know, and maybe I'm a little wishful thinking for my own fan base and me with the Buffalo Bills, and I'm hoping that they become the next
there it is.
Sort of thing. But I always feel for the cities, Pearl, who were always associated with losing. Like if the Lions won a Super Bowl, just how big that would be.
Yeah, that's a good one, Detroit. Yeah, I don't know. I kind of root for my own teams and my bets. I'm not sure I sit there and what.
You're Mr. What? Bandwagon. You don't get emotional. You
I don't know.
The Cubs didn't hit you in a certain way.
No, not really.
How?
This You're rooting for the Dodgers. Sox either.
This guy has no heart.
It's amazing.
I don't know. Even this, you're feeling emotional watching Rory up at the ATM. I'm like, really? Are we doing this?
Yeah, definitely.
I think a lot of people were feeling. Now, Tiger in 2019, grown men were crying. 100%.
Yeah, that was for all the old guys. But
no, so you relate to the old guys, not to my
generation.
That's
the young. Yeah, this is EJ's guy. Like, yeah, he's feeling emotional about it.
You don't get emotional seeing guys overcome adversity?
Nah, not really.
Unless it's the tush push. He has no emotional connection whatsoever. This is a Philadelphia only.
No, I mean,
what a warm heart Pearl has.
Yeah, I'm generally, I don't know. It feels like something people say, but are they really emotional? I don't know. Were you emotional for the Astros when they cheated their way to?
Well, I didn't know they were cheating at the time.
I know.
I didn't know until after the fact. But, you know, yeah, for the Astros who had multiple seasons of losing 100 games and then you finally win, maybe a little bit different.
Astros, not as much. The Cubs was a big deal. But the Red Sox was very complicated because there's so many Yankee fans, and that was painful for them, too.
Well, the one thing about the Cubs, like, this is the stories that always get me about the Cubs, like, or about teams like that who have these curses that break. It's like the person who was sitting there with the transistor radio at, like, their parents' gravesite, you know, like, listening to it. When you get the generations involved and you had so many things like that, that's more of just the franchise, though, because people are going to come and go. The names are going to change, but the franchise remains, you know. And then you do get attached to individual athletes. You do more than anybody. You love rooting for individual people over everything.
Oh, absolutely.
You're a Shohei guy. You're a Giannis guy.
I really like Justin Rose because he was featured on Full Swing this year, and he seems like a super nice guy. I think is the key question here. This is our friend Jimmy Traina, who's the media writer at Sports Illustrated. He tweeted, "Don't let all the dramatic and sympathetic tweets fool you. The choke is better for the content business than the win." I actually laughed pretty hard at that. Because everybody in the media is like basically writing poems about their love for Rory. But secretly, the only thing that made that, if they, as you said to start the segment, if he'd won by 5 strokes, then, and in some ways, the choke is so much better TV. That's what I was honestly rooting for, good TV on Sunday.
You when got it though. And you it was got a blow, happy ending.
Yeah, I know.
A good ending.
But I would have been just as happy for Justin Rose because that guy had been second twice at the Masters and had just lost. He'd been in the last playoff hole. Yeah, I don't know. I think the love is a little strong. Like there are guys who again, you said they were weeping for Tiger. I feel like there are guys weeping for Rory.
There are.
Yeah. There.
Can you put on the poll, are people crying for Rory? Are those fake tears? I don't think they are. This is not alligator tears. I think.
I mean, you didn't say you were crying, EJ. You said you felt a little emotional.
You felt it.
I felt it, yeah.
Would you, if your buddy called you and said was gasping because he was crying, wouldn't you think that was a little weird?
Well, I mean, you know.
I mean, well, none of my buddies like Rory, so that'd be weird. Or like golf. So
I don't think
would
be like heaving,
be
sobbing.
Yeah,
they're not
exactly
actually Rory.
No, but like teary-eyed or you feel a little feel something. Yeah, definitely. I don't understand this. I feel like you say you're going to cry with Bronny, and you're saying that Rory McIlroy winning a Masters for the first time after an 11-year drought of majors did nothing? I don't understand
you
that.
Did say you were going to get emotional when you saw Bronny and LeBron together on the court.
It turned out I was crying laughing. By the way, Bronny's playing pretty good lately.
Did you see him yesterday?
Out there.
Yeah, I did see that.
He did not play well yesterday.
Oh, no, I did not see him yesterday.
That's why you said that, because he was terrible.
I saw someone on ESPN wrote how Bronny and Dalton Connect have been good picks, so credit to the scouting department. I was like, Jesus. I'm going to write a strongly worded letter to ESPN, to the scouting department.
Scouting department.
Yeah.
You watched three games of the NCAA tournament, and LeBron James said, pick my son.
Dynamite scouting. You really found this guy at the, you know, in the corner of the globe that nobody had ever explored. Anyway, Rory, were you actually emotional about this? I think EJ's not lying about this. He definitely was. This is his dude. I'm trying to think of the last person felt really emotional about winning.
You didn't mention Rory once last week, EJ. His name did not come through your mouth.
I'm not a golf guy, but
that's what I'm saying.
No, but I like Rory. I've always
liked
Rory.
Feel the feels.
Right. And I like people overcoming adversity. Right. Like that. That's the story.
Let me ask you this. So you're with Maggie. The fact that the way it happened added to say,
100%.
I'm kind of getting it.
Yeah.
Okay.
If he had
stayed hot and won by six strokes.
That was Scottie Scheffler up there. I don't feel anything.
Right. Or if Rory had won more easily, you probably would have felt
same
as much.
Thing.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. It's the emotion. You see that emotion because you see it's real to him.
That's fair.
You see it through the TV screen. This is not a guy. Because we think sometimes these athletes are like, oh, they make
robots.
All this money and they don't really care, you know, whether they win, they lose, they go home to their mansions and that's it.
Right.
You could tell Rory McIlroy, that guy cares. And this stuff has been weighing on him for years. So when you see that, I think as a human, that relates to all the things you've dealt with. You think about all the things you've had to overcome and all the things that you've tried to deal with. So when you see that, you relate to the athletes in that way. I think that's what fans want. Fans want people who feel more relatable. I think Rory was more relatable yesterday than he's been in his entire career.
Yeah. And people want to see the tears, you know. The tears, I think, you know, that's why we watch the footage over and over again of Michael Jordan sobbing into all of the champions, you know, the Larry O'Brien and trophies. Like, people want to see the tears.
It feels a little bandwagon to me. On Friday morning when I came in, hey, did you see Rory's two double bogeys there at the end? And EJ said the Masters started. I was like, what?
Much.
I'm trying, who's the
I
last
feel
person?
A little bandwagon. Like, okay. Now he's the Rory fan.
I told Manny, I watch, five holes of golf every year. It's the last 2-3 holes of the Masters, the last 2-3 holes of the U.S. Open.
That was enough.
That's all I watched.
I don't know. I feel like you're jumping on a bandwagon here. All of a sudden, you're emotional or Rory.
Listen,
that's like Perloff rooting for Perloff rooting for Florida in the NCAA tournament.
Ask Andre. Andre was like, you're watching golf? What's wrong with you? And I was like, look, he won. He finally won. He's like, wow, you're really into this. I'm like, yeah, he finally won.
Well, and I like that it's a little different because it's not the win and ride off into the sunset either, which is a very different kind of thing. It's like the culmination. This is the career's still going on. He's still fighting live. He's still doing all the stuff, you know. Rory's still like a major factor in our lives. I'm trying to think of the last person I got really emotional for. The Cubs fans I did, even though obviously I'm a Mets fan and rooting for the National League and I don't love that. But for the fan base, I was happy for them. I was happy for the Cleveland fans.
I think you need, for me, I would need an individual.
I like loved Andre Agassi's comeback.
Mm,
when he ditched the hairpiece, shaved the head. I mean, that was pretty amazing.
I think Elway jumps to mind as the guy, although I didn't really feel emotional about it because, Elway's the one. I was like, whoa, he finally did it. Yeah, I don't know. Maybe I'm cruel.
Well, it's different because you also have to take your own fan out of it. Like, you cried when the Eagles won the Super Bowl in 2017. Yeah. You told me that. Obviously, you didn't cry this time around, did you?
No. Are you kidding me?
Now
you're too busy partying.
It's like, been there, done that.
She's up on stage with like a... you know, Cooper DeJean.
I was at the party last time, too, to be fair.
I know. Doors just opened for McLovin. But here's the thing. I'm trying to think, who's the last person you got emotional about that you didn't have the team attachment, right? Or individual sport? Nobody?
Yeah. No, definitely not. I mean, I'm not. I'm not a crier. I mean, I would cry at my kid's dance recital. I'm not crying at sports. There was a fantasy football loss in 2019 that stings me to this day.
That's very understandable. Yeah. Very understandable.
I mean, it's one of those ones where I had my guy on the bench and I didn't play him and he went off.
Brutal. I'm kind of crying because I didn't even realize I was walking to a situation where I could have had breakfast purchased for me today if only one of your 13 bets had come through.
Well, I put 13 bets at $3 a piece for $39, and some of them paid $150. So I could have come up huge. It was a good strategy, Maggie. Didn't work out, but it was better than betting on Rory. Rory came in minus 200 yesterday. What's the point of that?
Well, but Big Easy told us that after his bad round on, what was that, Friday, that he dropped to, 20 to 1 or something. That would have been cool. Where were you then? 888-710-4ISN. Watching Rory yesterday, did you get emotional? Did it hit you? And if not yesterday, when was the last time you did start feeling something? For an individual athlete, I think the Tiger 2019, I think everyone got behind. Because that was unreal.
That was crazy.
He had been through so much. And to be fair, Roy has been through a lot as well. 888-710-4ISN. We're also asking you, who's the next guy who's got to get the monkey off their back? We'll dive into that in just a moment. We've got a situation brewing in college football. This one didn't come out of nowhere because, quite frankly, we've been building to this for a long time. But the news sort of hit like a brick. So we'll get to all the latest of what's going on with Tennessee in just a moment. Again, 888-710-4ISN. Did you get emotional watching Rory yesterday? Let us know.
Welcome back, Maggie and Perloff Show. All right, Maggie, just got back from vacation.
Yeah.
Two questions. One, how was it? B, why would you tell Manny where you were going? What was going on with that?
Wait, why wouldn't I tell Manny?
What? We got to get Bogus in here. You don't know... You clearly didn't listen to the show while you were part-time.
Sorry, guys. I mean, I was,
All we talked about. You don't know this storyline?
No, what?
I don't know how you know the storyline. You were squarely involved with it.
What happened?
Oh, so it was an accident.
Yeah, which is what I said, which is what I believe. So there was, so Bogus, because he's very messy, I'm sure he'll be here in 2 seconds, he brought up that there was a conversation that happened in the office that we were all there for, I guess except for Perloff, where Manny asked, hey, like, by any chance, do you mind letting us know where you're going? And you said, I'd rather not.
I thought you said, say it on the air where I'm going.
Which is exactly what I expected.
Yeah. That's what DJ said.
But nobody pressed you on it. So we were like, well, maybe she doesn't want Manny to know. and this was a storyline on the show. This was a storyline on the Maggie and Perloff show with Perloff, me for 2 days, then with Bogus for 3 days. This was like the side storyline we were trying to figure out.
Why would I care if Manny knows where I am?
That's what we were all trying to figure out.
Yeah.
No, I just didn't want anyone to say exactly where I was. Not that it matters, but like where I was going, because, it's like, I'll tell you guys after the fact. I don't want to be like, well, Maggie's out, gallivanting somewhere. I'll tell Manny. I'll tell him, give him the exact address. He could have come on vacation with me.
But you didn't.
I thought you knew.
I didn't know anything.
I'm so sorry.
You still don't know.
I still have no idea.
We would tell him.
Wait, what? Manny could have come on my family vacation. He's my emergency contact. You guys understand? I trust Manny more than any of you guys.
That's not a spectacular idea. But, but I mean, I did make up places that you were visiting while you were gone. You were in the Mongolian mountains becoming a Buddhist. You were also trying to become a UFC champion in Dagestan. You wrapped up your vacation in the... Uzbekistan-Turkmenistan border herding sheep.
Well, unfortunately, it's like really the off season right now in Turkmenistan, and everybody knows that. It's more of an August place, so I'll be there for my summer vacation. Wait, no, I just said don't say it on the air where I am, but of course you can know where I am.
Yeah, I think Maggie, we put out a false narrative. So if you happen to be listening to last week, I think a lot of people think that you have an issue with Manny.
That couldn't be further from the truth.
That you don't trust him.
I don't trust
Manny. And by the way, I'm still a little bit there that maybe you didn't tell Manny because you didn't want Manny blabbing on air. So
the beef is Manny Rodriguez.
Yeah.
Of course, Manny, to be honest, I'd probably invite Manny first before anybody else on the show. I mean, not to make it about that, but I'm not trying to overcompensate here. But Manny would definitely be the most fun.
I'm fun and you guys aren't.
Manny would... Manny would stress your alcohol budget for the week.
Well, it was all inclusive, so, you know, also, have at it.
It's also incredibly true.
Manny could have really come in handy because I was in Mexico, and Manny, not only his heritage is Mexican, he also speaks Spanish, so he would have been way more helpful than any of you gringos.
Sí, cierto, sí, cierto. Do you want to watch women's hockey while you're in Mexico? I don't understand. Like, what do you need Manny for?
That was one of the ironic parts about it. I was like, I think you would tell Manny it was Mexico.
I did not.
Definitely. I mean, it wasn't in Jalisco, which is, you know, where Manny's family's from, but I was in a more conventional vacation place, Cancun, but still could have used you.
Yeah, EJ, so you had a sense that this is what was happening. There was a miscommunication.
Yeah, it had to be, because I was like, that's just weird. And you did it in front of everybody. That's what was so funny about it.
Yeah, the whole newsroom heard it.
Maggie
seriously?
Really,
yes.
Maggie really doesn't care that we all know now she does not trust Manny. And I was like, that can't be true. It's got to be some kind of miscommunication.
And we did journalism. We double sourced it. Like, I was asking people, you heard this? Yep, I heard that. Yep. Like, that Manny asked, and you goes, I don't really tell people where I go on vacation. And then that was it.
I meant on the air, of course. So this whole time.
So what did Manny ask you?
False beef brewing between me and Manny.
What did you think Manny asked you?
I thought you said, do you want us to tell people where you're going? Like, do you want us to talk about where you are while you're gone?
I said, I asked you if you're at the liberty of letting us know where you're going.
When you said us, I thought you meant the audience. I didn't think you meant you on the show.
Well, I didn't know that he knew. I didn't know that he knew. And I didn't know that EJ knew.
Everybody knew.
This relationship, this chemistry is what you were going to wanted to bring on vacation?
This is my emergency contact.
Yeah, okay.
Manny.
Yeah.
Well, I'm glad we got to the bottom of that.
Yeah, I would absolutely. I'll tell you anything. You can have my social security number. Manny, I trust.
Mistake after mistake.
I mean.
Because we actually saw the conversation going down like this. Manny saying, Maggie, where are you going? I'd rather not tell you.
That is so. Imagine how awful that would be if someone actually said
that's
that.
Why I liked it. Manny.
I was like, Manny, are you okay? I actually was like, are you all right? He's like, to Manny's credit, he took like a champ.
He's amazing.
He's like, oh, yeah, I totally understand. Like, Maggie, like, I'm a professional. Like, Maggie can, you know, be private. It's fine.
But also, wouldn't that not square with anything that also has to do with me? I tell you guys everything. And I was about to tell you this other story that was going to be deeply personal. Like, I will share it all. And you guys know all about my personal life. Like,
that's
I don't hold anything
stunned.
Back.
That's why we were stunned.
I'd rather not say.
To you.
All right.
Especially when I'm going to Mexico. That just seemed also, like, particularly mean.
And why are you scared of the audience knowing that you're
it's not that. It's just I don't want to ever seem like I'm, like, you know, bragging or whatever.
Is that why you told? Yeah. You are a little oversensitive about that, too.
Well, you know, it's like I feel lucky to be able to do stuff like this. And I know not everybody gets to.
Oh, come on.
And so I don't want it to make it like, you know, you guys are all working hard, waking up in the middle of the night, and I'm, you know,
off galvanizing in Mexico.
By the way, I'm doing that starting Saturday, and you can all eat it.
I'm trying to do that next month.
Bogus and I have different philosophies when it comes to that. No, that's hilarious, though, that somehow Bogus, this is
Manny?
Where I drew the line of things of, that I would not share with Manny.
We call it calling, having theories, being like, yeah, so I think what Manny said 4 weeks ago on the show was why Maggie is kind of skeptical, and that's why she's like, you know what? I'm not telling him.
No, do you guys think I was putting on one of those blue jumpsuits to go up to space with Gail King and Jeff Bezos' girlfriend?
Listen, and Katy Perry, we don't have a lot going on here, Maggie. We need some kind of drama.
Yeah.
Especially Bogus. I mean, Bogus has got to sit out there looking for something. And
that's hilarious.
Just switch the chairs on him. This one was brought to me. I was part of the end of that conversation, but then when it ended, an unnamed person was like, did she just not tell Manny where she was going on vacation? And I was like, did she? Yeah.
Who's the unnamed person?
Unnamed.
By the way, the chair gate also exploded last week.
Oh, yeah.
Exploded.
Out of Mexico.
I don't know if you know. It was as big as actual Watergate. This deserved a gate. This was.
Is someone going to resign?
Yeah. And by the way, you are in the crappy chair right now.
I am. I know. This makes me all hunched over. I have like Phil Jackson thrown.
Yeah.
I
fixed it on Friday, and apparently it was unfixed by said culprit.
Who is the person?
Oh, that's Rich Ackerman.
We've
done that already.
Yeah. Yes, we have. Okay. Yeah, Rich is very particular, and so is Bogish. You guys are both particular.
I honestly thought you weren't telling Manny for some reason I couldn't figure out. Now I totally understand it was a miscommunication, but at the time, I'm like, hi, I don't really get it, but I guess there's a reason.
What? Well, what could possibly be the reason?
Manny would 100% show up and be like, here I am, guys.
That'd be fine.
Maybe he would say it on air.
But
which I don't think he would.
It's fine. I just told everybody. It's fine. I was in Mexico. I was in Cancun.
What? Yeah.
Manny,
so what?
You could have come with us In fact, you're invited to the next one.
And probably won't be able to afford it, but I appreciate that.
Well, we'll figure something out. We'll get you on a payment plan.
No, we won't.
Well, I was going to tell this other story about what happened, but maybe we'll save it because we got headlines to get to. And sorry to put you through that, Manny.
It was traumatizing.
I'm sure. If the roles were reversed and all of a sudden I was like, Manny, where are you going on vacation? You're like, I'd rather not say.
I might do that.
Do you understand what I would imagine in my head? Ayahuasca trip, like I don't even know where you'd be.
Honestly, I thought that's where you went for about 48 yeah. hours.
You thought that's where I was going?
A little bit.
Think I'd take my 5-year-old son to that?
Mm-hmm. We were victims here too because we had
children's areas around there, right?
You go play on the Nanny playground. Mommy will be back in 12 hours after she figures out that she's actually a butterfly.
We also were victims too, because we had to sit here and listen to Manny's Eastern European jokes that didn't land from the get-go, and he kept coming back to them.
UFC fight card is where he thought I was.
Yeah, I just didn't get it from joke one, and you kept hammering it home.
I like the Mongolia one. That one was good.
That was all right.
You were trained to be a monk.
That's funny.
A Buddhist, sorry.
He kept on naming these countries, and I was like, I don't know what we're doing here.
Got a globe, guys.
You know, my brother actually went to Mongolia searching for Genghis Khan's tomb one time.
Why?
He's like, likes adventure. Too bogus with the headlines.
It was Masters number 17 for Rory McIlroy. His last major title was 11 years ago. It was a long wait for green jacket number one.
Walk him out of me on the last green there in the playoff was, at least 11 years, if not 14 years of pent-up emotion.
11 years ago were the wins at the PGA and the British Open. 14 years ago was a 21-year-old Rory blowing a 4-shot lead to start the final round at Augusta. It all went away with yesterday's playoff win over Justin Rose. It didn't have to be that hard, though, with Rory up 4 shots through 10. But Rose shot a 6-under 66, while Rory bogeyed 18 with a chance to win the green jacket there. McIlroy becomes the 6th golfer with a career Grand Slam. Rose, meanwhile, loses his second Masters playoff. Last year's winner, Scottie Scheffler, finished 4th. On the final day of the NBA regular season, this was not a good idea.
Carrington left sideline, guarded by Hawkins. Carrington drives, left double, flips up the shot.
Whoa!
And scores at the buzzer. He's mobbed by his teammates. He put it high off the glass to avoid the Hawkins block. And Bob Carrington driving and scoring. And the Wizards winning 119-118.
Bob Carrington with the buzzer beater, getting the Wiz that win over the Heat that they did not need. Washington still does share the best lottery odds with Utah and Charlotte, but the Jazz now technically have the worst record, so they can only drop as far as the 5th pick. The Wiz can now end up at number 6 because of this shot yesterday. Far from all of that, the Nuggets, Clippers, and T-Wolves won their finales to avoid the play-in. The Warriors are number 7 after losing to those Clips, so they have to play the Grizzlies tomorrow night. The Kings will host the Mavs in the other West play-in. That is on Wednesday. Sunday Night Baseball at Dodger Stadium. Cubs, Dodgers tied at 2, top 7.
The 0-1 to Crow Armstrong. Swinging a drive, center field and deep. Back goes Edmund, back near the fence. It's got a chance! Gone! Pete Crow Armstrong with a long home run, his 2nd of the game. And the kid from Sherman Oaks, which is about 30 miles away from here, is putting on a show in front of friends and family.
Pat Hughes on Cubs Radio. Pete Crow Armstrong grew up near L.A. because his mom is an actress. In case you didn't know, Ashley Crow was the mom in Little Big League. Her son clubbing those 2 solo homers in the Cubs 4-2 win.
Let's get our IMDb up.
The Chicago Bears are extending slot corner Kyler Gordon, 3 years, $31.25 million guaranteed. Paige Beckers has reportedly signed a 3-year deal with the 3-on-3 league Unrivaled. In 1 year there, she's expected to make more than the entirety of her 4-year WNBA rookie contract, which starts at $78,000 for a season. Beckers will be the number 1 pick in tonight's draft, going to the Dallas Wings. And hockey last night, Columbus, a 4-1 winner in Washington. So now they're 3 points behind Montreal for the last East wild card with 2 games to go. That 1 capital goal, by the way, from Alex Ovechkin, number 896. Guys?
Pico Armstrong's mom's been in a lot of stuff. She was in The Good Son. Little Good Big Son? League.
Is that
mentioned?
The Matt Damon FBI movie?
No, no. Good Son is Macaulay Culkin. Remember where he's actually the evil kid?
No, I don't think I've seen that one.
Oh, really?
It's good.
The Good Son.
The Good Son, 1993.
Okay.
This is when Macaulay Culkin's on a tear.
Okay. What else has she been in?
Many one-off episodes of television shows that you definitely
okay.
know.
That's a big okay. drop.
Did yeah. a little Law and Order, a little Grey's Anatomy. All right.
Has been on Law and Order.
Everybody Loves Raymond.
Bogish has been on Law and Order.
Party of Five, she was on an episode.
Ooh.
She was in the movie Minority Report.
Good movie.
When you say she was in it, does she have an actual character name, or is she like Woman in the Bar number two?
No, she's got a character name. Okay. She was in 41 episodes of a TV series called Heroes, if you remember that.
Yeah, kind of. Yeah.
I think Klitschko's wife was in that. And then she's in something now called The Other People.
Hayden whatever, that's who you're talking about?
Yeah. Okay. She married one of the Klitschko's, but I don't know if they're still married.
Oh, Panettiere?
Yeah.
She's a Friday Night Lights. Mm. She's a little girl. Like, she's a coach. She's Yost's daughter, who's yelling around talking about how knows all about football.
In the movie.
Yeah.
It's a pretty good run for Pete Crow Armstrong's mom.
Are you talking about Hayden Panettiere or the Armstrong woman?
I'm talking about Hayden Panettiere.
Yeah. All right. A little left turn there. Did anybody have this guy in our home run derby?
No.
Pete Crow Armstrong?
Yeah.
I was actually just looking up to see if Vlad Guerrero Jr. has hit a home run yet. Because this turned out to be one of the terrible picks.
No Blue Jays baseball in Mexico?
There was any baseball. Or in
Mongolia? EJ and I were talking some trash. EJ's winning, but I'm coming up. I think I might be in second now.
Who's your centerpiece?
Schwarbaum. Kyle Schwarber is tied for the league lead, and then Ozuna has woken up a little bit. But it's kind of cold weather. I think we're going to see an explosion of home runs.
Guys, it's April 14th.
Yeah. Oh, we got a long way to go.
I can trash talk with Perloff forever, okay? Me and Perloff can go back and forth on trash talk for the end of time.
No, I got to jump in there now because I think EJ's going to run away with it later in the year. So this is my opportunity to get in there.
How's Matt Olson doing, Manny?
I have no idea. Last time I checked, like a week ago, he had one ding bomb. That was it.
I mean, EJ really didn't reinvent the wheel with Aaron Judge.
Thanks, Manny.
Listen, dog.
Okay, so we have lots more to do. The situation that is going on in Tennessee, Bogish, thank you, got pretty crazy pretty fast. So we'll unpack all of that and what's going on with the Volunteers quarterback situation and what it means for the rest of college football. And lots more Rory. Don't move. It's M&P. Welcome back to the Maggie and Perloff Show. We get back to Rory's big day in just a moment. David Dusek from Golf Week is going to join us at the top of the hour to put this all in perspective for us. But, bro, this story over the weekend, I can't say it came out of nowhere because, to be honest, this has been brewing in college football for quite a long time. But this particular story kind of fell out of the sky.
Want to pull off the season's freshest trends? You just need the right shoes. That's where Designer Shoe Warehouse comes in. Loving wide leg jeans? Pair them with sleek, low-profile sneakers. Obsessed with the sheer trend? Try it with mesh flats. Feeling boho? Comfy sandals nail the whole free-spirited thing. Find on-trend shoes from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at DSW.
Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out, procrastination, putting it off, kicking the can down the road. In, plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out, carpet in the bathroom. Like, why? In, knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by Smart Travel, a new podcast from NerdWallet. Want to travel like a savvy jet setter? No, that doesn't mean monogramming your passport. It means making smart decisions every step of your trip, which means knowing your options. Smart Travel unpacks the facts, like which booking sites actually save money, how to fly first class using points, and if that fancy travel card is a smart investment, all so you can save more on your next adventure. Follow Smart Travel from NerdWallet today and start traveling like a pro.
Hi, and that is Nico Iamaliava, who is the quarterback for the Tennessee Volunteers, all of a sudden being cut from the team. Now, the backstory is that he went, he or his agent, his representatives, it kind of seems like there may have been a disconnect between his family and his agent, went back to Tennessee as the spring portal is about to open and said, we'd like more money, and not just a little bit. We want a big raise. Reportedly, he's making around $2 million and wanted to bump that up to about $4 million.
Okay.
And said, if you don't give, you know, like, I'd like more money. And they said, no. And he said, okay, well, then I'm not showing up to practice, and I'm out of here. They said, nobody is bigger than the team. This is Josh Heupel, the head coach of Tennessee. And now he's in the portal and he's looking for a new team. Again, I can't say I'm shocked by this because I think we've always been headed here. And I think guys have been going back to their teams and collectives and all that and asking for more money. What's different about this is it's a quarterback and it came to a head this late in the season, if you will, with spring games right here, right now.
Yeah, but I mean, if you have a spring portal, this opens up this possibility.
That's
so
true.
If you're going to have that portal, it could be an issue any year. And it's not surprising because every other quarterback, I don't know why he waited so long to try and get a new deal. I'm assuming any other quarterback that is coming back to college who made the college football playoff asked for more money, right? Doesn't that make sense? I've been researching a little bit. Sam Levitt got a big raise, a huge raise. I think Kevin Jennings got a big raise. Generally, if you go through, if you make it, like you would expect to get more.
Yeah, I guess I think he was asking for more, though, in December. And I think this is where Tennessee is holding tight here. I think they don't believe that he's worth $4 million.
But is it that big a difference between $2 million and $4 million? I mean,
yes.
I mean, in sports terms, not really.
Well, it's not the NFL yet. It's not. And I know that there's going to be money, you know, when this whole court case gets, eventually decided, you're going to have money that the school is going to actually pay. And then you have all the NIL money, which is, you know, commercials and car dealerships and all the stuff that you get paid your name, image, and likeness. I think we're used to NFL terms here where it's like, yeah, what's $2 million for Joe Burrow? Well, Nico's not Joe Burrow.
Yeah, but I mean, he had a successful year. You would think he would get a raise. Why would he not get a raise when all these other guys got a raise?
Well, I think because Tennessee drew their line in the sand, obviously.
And that's, you know, why I think it's unusual. And that's the other thing, too. Tennessee has plenty of money.
I'm sure, but this is the thing. I think that for this particular example, I think this is Nico's camp kind of botched this thing. I think that this late into the season, into the I can't say season. The season doesn't start, obviously, till the fall. But this late into the offseason, schedule to think that another team could have $4 million laying around when your own team didn't want to pay you that, to me feels like a bit of a pipe dream. Now, listen, maybe USC and UCLA come through with this big bag. Maybe Bill Belichick goes to the donors and says, I need this guy at North Carolina. It's not that I don't think he's going to land somewhere. I just don't know if he's actually getting that $4 million. I think he may have overplayed the hand when it comes to, you know, like really trying to double his salary.
Well, at least
whatever
get,
we call
it. If it's about the money, I mean, he's going to get at least $2 million. Okay, that would be nothing.
But he's getting $2 million now.
Like, yeah, I'm saying, like, okay, yes, but he's not going to be a financial loser, in my opinion. I think he'll get at least that much money. So you're right. It kind of stinks that he has to leave a program that he knows so well and set a great coach, set up for success. All that is terrible. But I do not see any scenario where he doesn't end up working out financially to some extent. Yeah, he might not get a raise, but $2 million, you could find $2 million for a former five-star recruit who got his team as a freshman to the college football playoff. Also, guys take jumps. He's young.
Yeah, no, I
know. I mean, he could be really good.
But you don't think that there's a red flag here that his own team didn't want to pay him? Now, that's like this a specific example with this one guy. But I don't know who's shocked by this. You know, there was a reporting that Josh Pate had reported that there were guys, Nico, but other guys, who in that break between the end of the regular season and the playoff, yeah, the college football playoff, went back to their schools and said, I want more money, maybe even threatening, saying, I'm not going to play if I don't get more money. Now, that's not just Nico. But who didn't think this was going to happen? College football went from the players having absolutely no power whatsoever to now the players having all of it. But this is like the free market. This is what happens. A guy can say, I want more money, and the team has every right to say, we're not going to give it to you.
Right.
So now he gets in the portal, and we'll see what happens. And maybe Oregon comes through again. Maybe USC and Lincoln Riley find the money. But this is like, this is what happens when you have no assurances on either side. The team, you know, the player doesn't have a long-term contract with escalators built in or what have you. And the team doesn't have any cover. They don't have any protection either that a kid's not just going to leave. This is where we are.
Yeah, and this is kind of a high-end problem because we're talking about a star quarterback. So obviously Nico is going to be fine. I mean, if this happened to the left tackle, and also Nico already has probably $10 million in the bank. He got a huge deal in high school. Look at the teams that are looking at him, and it's, he's got some interesting landing spots. I don't think he's going to suffer much.
Well, it might not, but again, I don't think this was the plan, right?
No, like, no. I mean, they played hardball, but it's such a weird situation with hardball. Now they don't have a quarterback, and he's going to go to, God knows, I mean, he might go with Lincoln Riley. He might go
to Belichick.
Yeah. Well, I mean, he might go to Riley to have a good season. I mean, Belichick, he'd probably wither away into nothing. But I'm saying, like, USC, like, he could win the Heisman with that coach.
So I think the question is, this seems like it has really rubbed college football fans the wrong way. I'm seeing a lot of people who are saying congrats to Josh Heupel for standing up to this. You know, it felt like a shakedown, and that they don't like.
That's happening everywhere, by the way.
Yeah, exactly. But like they don't like that this is how college football and what it has become.
Right. People are leaving their teams, so there's no loyalty to teams. So if you're a college football fan and you like Tennessee, you don't want to see guys moving around like this. But it's not the player's fault. It's the structure's fault. The whole system right now, as everybody is pointing out, is totally messed up.
I mean, I've seen some really outrageous opinions on this, you know, from some people who believe that he should be blackballed from the Power Four to try to send a message that you shouldn't be able to jump ship this quickly.
Yeah, it's like, that's called collusion, by the way.
Well, also, that's not good. And also, I mean, then don't have a spring portal. I just think that we're at a point where, nobody likes how it is exactly how it is right now, which is, you know, this Wild West of leaving at any time. But if you want to try to get guys under more sturdy contracts, then you're going to need a union and collectively bargain. And we're going to get there. But that's the boring stuff. That's the paperwork. You know, that's quite frankly the college presidents who I think are really pushing back on this. It's not the coaches. I don't think, maybe not the players, although I don't know. Maybe they're really enjoying all this freedom. But I think it's the college presidents who don't want the players to be employees and don't want to enter into this kind of contract.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot at stake here. I think the players are doing okay because they're making all this money.
Right, but they also can get cut at any time.
Right.
I mean, not everybody in the portal is there because they're looking for more money. Remember when Deion Sanders walked into Colorado and said, everybody get ready to hit the portal because I've got luggage and it's Louis Vuitton.
Yeah, but I think it's much better now than, say, 5 years ago. Like, a lot of guys have made a lot of money. I mean, lots of guys, like linemen. It's been crazy how profitable this has been.
888-710-4ISN. Are you bothered by what's going on at Tennessee with their quarterback jumping in the portal? Let us know.
Waiting for the best deals? Spring Black Friday savings are here. Shop Early Access now at Blinds.com and save big on new custom window treatments. At Blinds.com, shopping online for custom window treatments doesn't mean sacrificing on service, selection, or style. As the number one online retailer of custom window treatments, Blinds.com has hundreds of options to fit any decor and budget. Choose from stylish roller or bamboo shades, blackout options, and more. We even have motorized shades for your patio. DIY, or let our experts handle the heavy lifting. Blinds.com has you covered with free virtual consultations. We'll even send a pro to do the measure and install. Try before you buy with free samples delivered to your door. With over 25 million windows covered, every order's backed with Blinds.com's 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com's Spring Black Friday Early Access now for up to 40% off with minimum purchase, plus a free measure. Save up to 40% at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. Whether you're going smooth-shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Visit DollarShaveClub.com and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps. Restrictions apply.
Hey, everyone. Quick shout-out to Whole Foods Market. You know I'm all about eating fresh and finding quality ingredients, and that's exactly what Whole Foods delivers. Whether you're grabbing organic produce, high-quality meats, or just a quick, healthy snack, they've got you covered. Plus, they're all about sustainability and supporting local farmers, which I love. Next time you're grocery shopping, check them out. You'll taste the difference. Spring is the perfect time to refresh your table, and Whole Foods Market has everything you need. Hosting brunch? Picture this. Flaky, buttery quiche, crispy bacon, fresh berries, and of course, cold-pressed orange juice to brighten up your morning. And if you're in the mood for something fizzy, check out their seasonal Italian sodas. Berry Blend and Orange Hibiscus are total must-tries. So whether you're planning a casual get-together or a full-on feast, Whole Foods Market has you covered. Make Whole Foods Market your destination for all spring gatherings.
Baseball's number one digital destination is the MLB app. And this app's got game. Like game highlights, live games, fantasy games, and more.
The gem of a game!
This is baseball your way, with stats, scores, breaking news, and daily custom content that hits every time.
A monster shot!
Because here, you choose the teams and pick the players you want to follow.
All year long.
So when they catch it on the field,
what a catch!
You catch it on the MLB app. Download today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.